going to be two teams? I don't know. They probably have a roster of 60, 80 people. I don't know. They may have more than that. Not all of them are going to get a play. But there's going to be 100 or so of them probably play. And there's going to be about 60, 70,000 people probably. I don't know how big their stadium is, but there's going to be a big crowd watching. And there's probably a big TV audience and a big radio audience. There's going to be a lot of spectators. There's going to be a lot of people looking, you know, watching. Serving God is not a spectator sport. We make it a spectator sport. But God, serving God is not a spectator sport. Everyone is to be in the game. I remember years ago playing football, and I remember these guys that would come up to the coach saying, "Put me in. Coach, put me in. Put me in, coach." They was anxious to play. They wanted to play. And I thought about, would that be okay this morning to say, "Lord, put me in the game." I'm telling you, there's one thing to watch it. There's another thing to be involved in it. Means more when you're involved in it. Let me have a part of this thing. I want something to do here. That all right? I think the Lord would be pleased with somebody that would come and say, "Lord, what would you have me to do? Give me a position to play. Help me to know what that position is that I might be able to be in this game to help this game to be won." You all pray for me. Brother Sorrow, you wouldn't help to have them reading glasses again, would you? I was at Myrtle and I had to do something that was unusual. I had to ask for a pair of reading glasses. It had never happened before, but it happened again. Thank you. I'd like to start with a scripture. You pray for us. It's in John, 21st chapter of John. In the 15th verse it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?' He saith unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.'" You know, the Lord knows that the influencing factor in serving God, the motivation that causes you and I to do what we should do, really, the power to be able to do that is love. Brother Paul mentioned to us last night, and I've heard this before, but it always kind of pricks me when I hear it. He said to us last night, when we love one another, if we love one another the way we ought to, that's going to respond. There's something going to happen. And he questioned this idea, do we really love one another the way we should love one another? Do we really? Because that's going to cause us to do something towards one another. So I think it's very, very legitimate question to say, do we love one another? Jesus said, "Do you love me?" Can you answer that in the affirmative today? Can you say with a hand lifted, "Yes, Lord, I love you"? Because I'm going to tell you, if you do, if you say to the Lord, "Yes, I love you," He's going to say something to you. He asked Peter this. I think if Peter would have said, I can have an expectation of that. I know, have you ever had, you men in here, have you ever had your wife say, "Honey, do you love me?" Now, the very tone of that means there's something coming. There's something behind this. I need to ask you this first, because whether I'm going to get what I'm petitioning here means it got something to do with this here, see. So Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Peter, lovest thou me?" And he said, "Yes. Yes, I do." Then the Lord followed it up by saying, "You're going to have a chance to prove it. Peter, do something for me. Do something for me." Understand, there's something goes along, follows along. You love me, Peter? Then do something for me. I got something for you. I want you to do. And the only way that you can fulfill this that I want you to do is to love. You can't do it unless you love. You got to love me first. If you love me first, have my love in you, then you're going to be able to fulfill what I've got for you to do. But if you're going to say, "I love the Lord," and you're not willing to say, "I'm going to do anything," I'd have to question that. How much you love the Lord. I'm not saying you don't love the Lord to some degree, to some place. But how much do I love the Lord today? Do I love Him enough to accept my responsibility in His kingdom and do what He has for me to do? Now, I know you all saying there's another one of those preachers that's going to start saying, more people need to lead out in prayer and more people need to testify. And I know you're probably going to think that, and you're right. I'm going to say that the Lord is then going to ask you today, "Lovest thou me?" And you say, "Yes, Lord." Then He's going to say, "Do something for me. I got a job for you. I got a place. I never intended to you to be a spectator. I never intended to save you and just have you watch on and just see what everybody else gets and the blessings that they get and how I work in their life. Never intended to you to just be on the sideline. I got something for you. I got something that's going to bless your life. It's going to keep you. It's going to be something that's going to be right for you. It's going to fit you. It's going to fit you. You don't think it does. You won't say that's what you want most of the time, but the Lord knows this is what you need. Peter, you can't be successful if you don't do what I have for you. You love me, I love you. But I got something for you. I got something that's going to help you to be faithful in life. I've got a place for you. You're not going to be a spectator. You're going to be a part of the game. You're going to be in there. I'm going to tell you, being part of this game means something. I'm going to tell you, those guys up there that's going to play that game today, there probably ain't one half of 1% of the people in the stadium that has the physical, they've not worked out. Big guys up there with the great big bellies and sitting up there that hasn't run a step in the last, they can't play that. You understand what I'm saying? They're spectators. They're spectators at heart. They're spectators in the way they live. Some people may be up there in the right jerseys. They might look like, you know whose team they're on, but they're spectators. It costs something to be in the game. And God wants us to be in the game. Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." Okay, I got something for you to do. He said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my sheep." All right, he's done it two times now. Why did the Lord do something like that? Was His word not good? Did Peter not understand the idea of it? The Lord is reinforcing this into Peter's heart, into his mind. "Peter, lovest thou me?" "Yes, Lord. Do something for me." It's tied together. It's the power of our doings. If we really want to be successful in doing, it's not doing it to myself. It's doing it unto God. "Lord, what I'm doing for you. Peter, he wanted to connect that solidly in Peter's mind because Peter was going to hit some obstacles. Peter was going to hit some times that he wanted to retire. Peter was going to hit some times when the things got bad and the people was against it. He had some times that he was going to say, I want to be a spectator. I'm tired of being shot at. You know the guys that are on the football field? Some of them are going to get knocked down. Some of them are going to get knocked down hard. I wouldn't be out of bed if the game didn't stop to cart some of them off. It's a violent game. And sometimes in that kind of violence, somebody wants to say, I'm out of here. I'll watch it. It's safer up here to watch it. But the Lord said to him the second time, you love me? That means you're going to go through the knockdowns. It means you're going to be bruised up, but you're going to start, keep it going. Why? Because the energy, the reason, the passion that I have is from the Lord. I love God. I love the Lord. That's something in me that's beyond the circumstance. The circumstances get rough, but that's not what's influencing me. Brother Darrell thought you'd get in trouble when you start looking at the problem. When the problem becomes the thing. It'll always be the problem. You can keep the problem. You get your eyes on the problem, you'll magnify the problem. You get your eyes on Jesus, the problem starts getting littler. The solution to our problems, folks, is the Lord. I mean, it's the Lord, isn't it? Isn't it the Lord's answer to our problems? Isn't all of our problems, can you not honestly sum up every problem we got to be fixed in the idea we love the Lord? If you love the Lord, the problem's fixed. It will fix. He didn't leave it there. He said unto him third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my sheep. You love me. The third time, why was he grieved? Because he was questioning him of the depths of it. He was questioning, getting in there. Sometimes we get like that. Quit that pride. You quit that pride on me. Now, preacher, you're prying. You're prying into my life now. You're trying to get me off a cushion. You're trying to get me out of that place that I feel real good about. I feel real comfortable with. And you're prying at me. That's what the Lord was doing with Peter. He was prying in there. He wanted to connect something up. Peter, I got a life for you to live. I got a plan for you. Got it all planned out. You're going to need something. You love me? I want you to do something. Today, the Lord wants to say to every, I want to ask a question to every one of us, and He's asking it today. You love me? You love me? And when you say yes, He's going to say, I got something for you to do in my kingdom. It's for you. It's not, you're not a spectator anymore. I want you to get up. I want you to be a part of this. It isn't just a pastor's job to encourage everybody. It isn't just a song leader's job to encourage everybody. Everybody on the team has a position to fill, and you can't do without that man. We can't do without you. God don't want to do without you. God wants you in your place. And the fact of it is, and it's because they do it, it's every place I go. And it's at home, it's every place I go, it's patterned. We know who's going to pray. I know who's going to pray. And I know what everybody's going to do, and then I know who's not going to. Maybe it's not your job, but you got a job. You can't erase all the jobs because the Lord's saying, you love me? I got something for you to do. And I want you to be fulfilled in this. And you'll never be fulfilled just as a spectator. A fair weather fan and a fair wind, and I'm there. We heard that last night. I'm there. I'm a part of it. It's going good. As soon as it's not going good, I wasn't in it anyway. Wasn't me losing. I ain't going to lose this thing because I ain't in it. The Lord wants to give us something to do, folks. And this isn't from my heart. I want you to know this message, it's in my heart. It didn't come in a critical way. It isn't criticizing. This is uplifting. The Lord wants to encourage you into the better place for you, where you will be fulfilled in serving God. Because God wants you to be happy and fulfilled and have the real thing in your heart. And that's why He's motivating, and He wants you to feel His love. He wants that when He says, you love me? I got something for you to do. Be motivated by that. You love me. I got the power to do it. Our love united you. Let's look at another scripture in Timothy, 1st chapter, or 2nd Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, in the 6th verse, it says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now listen to what Paul was telling Timothy. There's an analogy here. Now, I burn wood to heat my home with. And it does a good job. The wood puts out a lot of heat. And there's times that I'll come in and the house will be cooling off and I'll come in and I'll lay my hand on the stove. And sometimes it's went out. It's cold. Sometimes it's warm. Now when it's still warm, I know there's something in there. There's something in there because there's still warmth coming from it. And sometimes like I don't have to touch. It's still hot. Something going on in there. Sometimes I can put my hand on it and I can feel just a little bit cool. There's something in there. Sometimes I can lay my hand on it and it's cold. I don't know. Maybe it's went out. Now I'll open the door and I'll get the poker. And I'll start poking around and I'll stir around a little bit. I'll kick up some coals. And I'll kick up some more coals. I stir around. This is the analogy that the Paul is talking to Timothy. Timothy, you got something. You've been given a gift. Yeah. And it's lying down in the ashes, Timothy. It's on fire. Is there something in there? But it ain't doing nothing. Yeah. Stir it. Stir it. Stir it up, kick it up. Lay some more fuel to it. This is the analogy here. Timothy, stir. Who stir? Paul, I'm waiting for you to come and stir. I'm going to wait till Apollos comes by next time. See if he can stir me up. But ain't nobody around here alive. Ain't nobody stirring me up. He didn't tell him to wait on the pastor, preacher, song leader. Timothy, you stir up the gift that's in you. You stir up when you see it's getting cold. You know it's getting cold. It's not working. Nothing's happening. Stir it up. Stir it up, Timothy. Be concerned of your own life. We laid hands on you. You remember that. You got the gift of the Holy Spirit. You got the experience. It burned in you. But you've let it die. It's laying down in the coals. It's laying down in the ashes. It's alive down there, Timothy. You still got the spark in you. You still got the ability in you. But you're letting it go down. And listen, folks, this is an inevitable truth. Leave it there long enough. It'll go out. Then stirring it don't help it. But he said to Timothy, before that happens, Timothy, stir it up. Stir up them coals. Get them live. Get some oxygen to them. Work them. Get them going. Lay the fuel to them. You know what's going to happen? It's going to start smoldering a little bit. It's going to smolder. Then all of a sudden it's going to flame. And then it's going to burn. And it's going to get hotter and hotter and hotter. You know why we have problems? There's no fire to burn them up. You know why we languish in our difficulties? There's no fire burning them up. Fire consumes. It consumes. It burns up. We people get trifling. And I know the pastors here know this. We know as soon as we see trifling among our congregation that there's a lack of spiritual life there. It isn't hard to know this. When there's no gift on fire working, trifling happens. Trivial difficulties happen. Well, somebody didn't shake my hand at the door. You get a fire and your gift working and see how much it really bothers you. Somebody don't shake your hand. You know, somebody shake your hand. Don't need somebody to shake your hand. And you're not offended if they don't. It doesn't matter anymore. You got something burning and it burns up all that carnal stuff in it. It burns it up. Got a gift in there. And he told Timothy, get your gift working. Get it on fire. Stir it up. Let it burn in there. What is it that the Lord really wants burning in there? He wants the love of God. Doesn't he? Isn't that what burns inside us? Why do we want to reach out to the lost world? It burns in us. Why do we want to correct wrongs in our own life? Because it burns in us. Why do we want to see people done justly? Why do we want to see people prosper? Why do we see the help? Because we've got love in our hearts. That's why. And when it starts cooling down, you don't have the same effect. It doesn't. You don't seem to care anymore as much. You don't seem that. And then it starts to be, we see all the carnal strife that's happening. Because the gift's not so. You got a gift today. You're not a spectator to the kingdom of God. You got a gift. And the Lord wants you to stir it today. You know there's nobody in here. Nobody in here can stir your gift for you. You've got to stir your own gift today. Because I don't even know what your gift is to stir. But you got one. And the Lord wants that fervency of spirit. Lord, help us. Do you feel it in our day and time? The lethargy, the indifference of our time. You see, of all the things that attacked us to take away our spiritual zeal, our desire, the desire for the lost, the desire for those that are around us. And Brother Paul said, I totally agree with this. When it burns down to that, you'll see a lack of the love, and then you'll see the results of the lack of love coming out in the way we deal with the people that are around us. There'll be an indifferent attitude. I don't need you, Brother Paul. That's the indifference. Is that the burning love? No, I need you. You let it burn down and it becomes an indifferent attitude towards the people, towards souls, toward the cause of God. Peter, you love me? Feed my sheep with passion, with desire, caring for their souls, loving them. You'll have to go through some things. You'll have to put up some things. They won't treat you right. You'll be treated bad. You'll get knocked down. Love me? Yes, Lord. Help me, Lord, to stir up the gift in me. To stir up the gift in me. Oh, how it would bless and encourage and inspire. First, let me ask you this question. If you could write the story of how your congregation is, how would you write it? You're going to write the testimony of your congregation to send out to the world to say, come and worship with us. And you have the right to whatever you write of that congregation is what it will be. How would you write it? Well, we come dragging in. Say, time for a song. You know why? Do you know what happens when there's a fire? It starts burning. And it demands something else to be thrown on it. Oh, I got a song. I got a song in my heart. I was singing it coming down the road. Lord gave me a song. Time for a song, 186. Got a song, 186. You know, I don't mind when somebody says, 186, 250, number 50, all at the same time. I don't mind at all. Somebody got a song. Got a song. How are we going to tell about this congregation that we're in? Who's responsible for the life that's in it? You know, I want to write it down that there's some life here. Got something going on in us. What about your outreach, somebody says? What about your outreach? Our outreach. You know, we was talking about back a while back about getting together and going to the old folks' home. Yeah, we thought about it. That's our outreach. No, you want to have spontaneous? What happens in spontaneous? Somebody, they're there. Here they are. They're coming. Invited somebody. Got somebody. I met somebody today. I want you to pray for them. We heard that in the congregation. Met somebody. They was in a great need. They needed the Lord. We talked about God. They said, pray for me. When it starts rolling, you got a gift. You got a gift of help, of blessing. You got help. You got a gift in there. It's what many folks is laying today. Dormant. He says, stir it up. Stir it up. Get some more stuff going in there. Get your heart enlarged. Jesus went to the well, and there was a Samaritan woman. We heard that. Jesus' disciples had went away to get food for these bodies. You have to eat. But Jesus got engaged in a situation there of dealing with people's souls. I'm hungry. Got to eat. You're out with it. Don't miss a meal. Hey, listen. I don't eat. I like to eat. But Jesus, something burned. Something was burning. And he got the opportunity to share with this Samaritan woman. Did Jesus have the human prejudice against the Samaritans? Well, we heard that, no. He was full. And he started imparting to her the words of eternal life. So he goes through the course and in the meantime, here comes the disciples back. Master, I've got food. And the Lord said, I've got meat to eat that you don't know anything about. And they say, somebody brought him some food. Where did he get some food at? We went all the way down to town all this way and then somebody's come fed him. Didn't have a clue, did he? Didn't have a clue. What was he talking about? It isn't all about filling your belly. You know, this is what we struggle with in our time. We struggle with our own flesh, our own carnality. You know what the answer to that is? The answer is not me coming up with some kind of, I'm going to control that. I know that ain't right. I shouldn't do it. I know there's always information to people that can understand, but we say, you better not do that. Don't you do this. Don't you do this. Don't you do this. You know, there's a better answer than doing all that. Get the fire down there. These guys just want to eat. Jesus had something else in there. It put the food aside. Jesus laid it aside. It done it from a natural concourse of his life. He was giving out of his heart. His heart was being enlarged because there was people that needed him as a Savior. It wasn't time to eat now. It's time to impart. It's not time to fight with you. It's time to impart. It's not time to struggle with others. It's time to impart. It's time to give. It's time to let my calling work. It's time to stir it up that the gift in me is being a blessing to the people around me, that I can see what God's doing. That He's helping. He's blessing. And there's a thrill to your soul. It makes this thing real. It makes it till you don't want to leave it. You embrace it. I wanted it more because now I'm seeing it and what it is. And God's been a reality to me. Because when I pour out my gift, I empty myself. And I'm empty for what? More. I'm empty for God to give more. And more. And I've emptied. And I've used my emotional energy up. You ever run out of your emotional energy? I do quite regularly. You run out of your emotional energy, then what happens? You're empty, then what happens? God fills you back up. You'll never see these things of God just looking from the spectator. You'll see people and you'll never understand. You'll be like the disciples. They didn't understand it. You know why? Because they wasn't in the game. Had they have been there doing what Jesus was doing in the game, they would have had the vision of it. But they didn't see it. They didn't know what He was talking about because they wasn't involved into it. And when you get involved, folks, God makes Himself real to your life. You want to talk about the challenge of that? I'm going to tell you something. The fire of God burning in your soul, there is nothing of this earth that can challenge it. It is pale. It pales everything in comparison. There is nothing that can come up to it. I've sat in the church services and had the Lord come down on my life and had the burning in my soul. And there's nothing that compares to anything I ever tried to do in my life. You say, where would I rather be today? Right here. Right here. No challenge to anything out there in the world that's happening. They have the big events, but they can't challenge this. No way. But if you don't have this burning, folks, you do it out of the duties, it's miserable. It's miserable not to have the reality. God is real in our lives. And I am so thankful for it. We had an experience several years ago with one of our daughters. She was just a little baby. We had went to the assembly meeting in Guthrie and was on our way home. Of my own human knowledge, there was a couple different flus going around at the time, and it seemed as though she got them both at the same time. She had the symptoms of both of these flus. My little daughter was very, very sick. And on the way home, she started going into these fever convulsions, these seizures. And we faced a lot of things, but that wasn't one that we had really faced. It was extremely fearful. She would completely go out, her eyes would roll back into her head, and she would be completely just like a rag with no consciousness. It was quite fearful. Needless to say, it was a time of very serious prayer. And we were seeking the Lord, pulled over beside the road at different times, and the children all praying, and we were praying that the Lord would help us and have mercy on us. And you say sometimes, well, I'm not sure I want to play that game. It's part of the game I'd rather be a spectator to. But God is so good and has so many reasons for what He does. I didn't see it at the time. Reason we was on our way home, there was some people that was coming to our congregation for the first time. And they had been wanting to come, but the folks at home kept telling them, wouldn't it be better if you'd come when we have a preacher here? And so why don't you wait? And so I was going home for this weekend because there was different people that was coming here for the first time. I didn't know it at the time, but these people were in a very deep place of need, and they were seeking God with all their heart. And so I got home, and these people were there. My child was deathly sick, and you know what kind of a place that's in. So it was Saturday, and things weren't looking too much better, and I thought, I can't do it, Lord. There's no way that I can fulfill my obligations, the gift that's in me. I can't do it. I don't have the mental capacity for it. My mind's took. And so I was saying, Lord, I can't do it. But I know what I'll do. There, Brother Plant's not far from here, I thought. I'll call him and have him come, and I think he'll do it. I'll call him and tell him the circumstances, and that we have visitors, and we can't just get through it. They're expecting something. Would you please come? And the Lord said, no. You ever have the Lord just say no? Well, the Lord said no. And so I wrestled around with that, and then I thought, well, Brother Tony is in Kentucky. That's not too far away, and if I explain circumstances and all, because I can't do it. So I thought, go call Brother Tony. And the Lord said, no. No. I come to the place that I honestly was so, I wish if I could just express the emptiness of myself. How incapable, empty that I was at that time. But I told the Lord, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Whatever this is tomorrow morning, Lord, it's yours. You know, I felt that way until I got behind the pulpit that day. I felt I was empty. I was as empty as I've ever been of anything. Totally, totally empty. But you know, I started opening my mouth and things started coming out. And I preached. And the Lord brought it in, an empty vessel. Yes. I was so needy. I didn't even already know what I was doing. But the Lord was able to use that emptiness. I did not understand it, folks. I didn't see it. I didn't understand it. After it was over, I said to the company, I hope you'll come back. And a brother said, one of the brothers said to me, he said, oh, if you're going to preach like that, we're going to be back. And he told me, that answered our questions. That met the need. And it wasn't me. And you know what the Lord was doing? He was putting me in a place that He could use me. That the gift in me would burn bright. And He had to get me out of the way. And I want to tell you, I saw the Lord there. I saw Him. The Lord wants, that's a story to you. The Lord wants you to see the Lord. He wants the fire that's in you to burn brightly. He wants you to have the increase of your life. He wants you to be expanded. He wants the fire to burn in there. That the Spirit of the Lord, you know, we have an expectation that if a minister gets up in the pulpit, that the anointing of the Lord's on him. There's an expectation from me that your ears are anointed. There's an expectation of the Lord that our testimonies are anointed. God wants to anoint your words with your neighbor. The Lord wants to anoint your life and your witness. He wants the witness of your life and for you to see the calling and the gift that's in you work. I've been amazed when I thought I was so unable, incapable, not even asking the Lord to have mercy on me as a failing man. And the Lord blessed the gift that's in me. Because I stirred it and I threw some wood on it and got it fired up and it burned and the gift works. God's gift works. And you'll be amazed at what you can do in the Lord, not in yourself. Don't ever be lifted up. But I'm going to tell you, the gift of God will work in your life. If you'll stir it and love God for it, you'll find yourself a successful witness for the Lord. Abel, your words, there was times that I've had to write something. I've been amazed when the Lord was in something. And I sat down, and those that know me know that it's beyond my capability. And sat down and began to pen out. And oh, sometimes it's almost poetic. The way, and it's like the Lord gives me the words and the way, and it comes out. And I say, surely, God was in it. For the soul, the gift of God that burns in there. The willingness to say, yes, Lord, cause the fire to burn in my life. Cause the fire to burn so others may be able to be warmed by it. You know, a little bit of coals in the bottom of my big stove doesn't heat the house. It's got to roar in that stove. When that fire's really roaring in there, got some heat coming out. Got some heat coming out. It's going to burn some stuff up. It's going to warm. It's going to warm. Folks, you know, when we unite our fires, there's something for people to warm themselves by. There's a place that people can feel the love of God coming out of our lives. Let me look at another scripture. That's 1 Thessalonians. Let's see, about the third chapter, I think. It says in the 12th verse, and the Lord make you, this is the third chapter of 1 Thessalonians. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. That the Lord make you to increase and abound more and more. More and more. This idea of increasing means that it goes beyond. It goes beyond it. The idea of being stirred means it goes beyond it. More and more. Being increased. Lord, help us to increase. As we go forth in the Lord, increase in our heart. Open up. Are you willing today? Are you willing to have more? Sometimes it's not cheap. Sometimes it costs you something. Sometimes to have it there is going to mean something. What it means a lot of times is going to burn something out in there. Need some room in your heart. You got something in there that's just time consuming. Just time consuming. I can't really get a fire going in there. It's too spaced in. I need to burn something out. Burn it out in there. Burn it out there. And you know what the testimony is? Many times I've heard it. I know it's true. There'll be people that have habits in their life and they can't get over their habits in life and they try and they're stuck on this or they got some music that they like or they like to do this or they do that, but then otherwise they love the Lord, they have decent things, but they have some places in their life that they can't let go of, and then they get in there and they get a good fire going. It starts burning and they get interested more and more. And you know what? These other things just kind of fade away. They burn out. It don't mean anything to me anymore. I've got something so much important in my life. You know, we can make a big list, pull a board chart out there, and I have Sister Ava come up here and start naming off. Write this up there. You shouldn't do this. Write this up there. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't go. You shouldn't do this. We can make a big list. We can probably, all of us get together, we probably need two boards. do all this. And then we all get together and kind of mandate it. Hey, let's make a rule here and get this all done. There's an easier way than that. Get a fire going down in here for God. Then all you want to know is just, hey, let me know. All I got to do is hear the idea of it. Got some fire down in here. Going to do something. Oh, one of my favorite passages of Scripture is where the mighty men, David's mighty men, was there, and David, King David, the beloved king, says, oh, how he longed for a drink of that water that's in the well of Bethlehem. Oh, no, he didn't tell them that you've got to do this. He didn't say, I'm going to pour out and show you the rules. But this is the king's rules. He didn't say any of that. All he said was, I long. You know, that ought to be enough for us, and knowing the Lord longs, knowing the Lord cares. I'm going to tell you, you point to the soul that the Lord don't love. You point to a soul and tell me that the Lord don't love that soul. You may say they're disgusting. Lord loves them. You may say they're hedonistic or they're paganistic. You tell me the Lord don't love them. That's His passion, His desire. He said, I long for a drink. Oh, that good, cool drink of water. And three of His mighty men took off down there to face the whole garrison of the Philistines. In my mind, they had fire in their eyes when they went. My Lord. That's all it took, my Lord. It's in my heart. Don't have to make a bunch of rules. You don't have to say all that. All you got to do is say, your wish is my command, my Lord. I want to do it. Put me in the game. They went down. They come back with water. I'd like to have seen that. I wonder what that entailed. You guys think these guys were friendly and just said, I will go get some water. Yeah, help yourself. Kick back. No. Imagine they saw him coming and they all got back there and something drove them away though. We're going to get that water. You're going to die. Somebody's going to die. We're going to get this water. And they brought it back. Water for the Lord. Simple thing is water for the Lord. The gift stirred in their hearts. The passion, the desire. Was there any question in David's heart that he had some loyal subjects? He had some men that loved him? Wasn't a doubt, was there? Was there any doubt in David's mind that if he said to these three that had went down there, I need you to go on a mission for me. Was there any doubt that they would go? Wasn't a doubt, was there? If he just said, the battle's coming to it, now we need somebody to stand here, and you're most likely to die standing here for it, but will you do it? You reckon they would have done it? They'd have done it, wouldn't they? David took the water, and when he realized what had been done, he was noble, and his integrity was running high. And he looked at that and he said, failing, miserable, wretched man can't drink water of that kind of devotion. That's too much. I don't deserve these kind of men's blood that they in type gave. And he gave it to the Lord. He poured it out on the ground and offered it to the Lord as a drink offering and said, Lord, I won't drink it. I won't be satisfied with this because you alone are worthy to drink this water. Amen. And there, in essence, their sacrifice didn't go to David. It went to the King of Kings. That's the passion. Jesus died on the cross for us. He wants that passion in us. That we would look through the carnalities. That we would look through the humanities. We'd look through the failures of men. And see the cause of God and the gift of God in us be stirred up to reach beyond the barriers. I want to look at one other scripture. It's in Isaiah 54. In the second verse it says, enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. I know this particularly what it's talking about is the inheritance of the people. But I like to think of this as the expansion of our heart for a little bit. Enlarge your tent. Enlarge your life for the Lord. Ask the Lord today to put you in the game. Ask the Lord to put you in the game. Oh, can't do that. He might have you preach. If that's what He has you to do, that's what the gift you have. But say, Lord, put me in the game. I want to be put in the game. I want to make a difference. This is different. There's no limit to the number of players. You can be a part of this team. Lord, put me in the game. Well, I can't pray like others do. Lord, teach the gift that's in me. It's not the words. It's the fire in the soul. That's what the blessing is. It's the fire that's in there. Lord, help me stir the fire up. Help me. Give me the calling. Give me the gift. Help me to see what I'm supposed to do. Help me to accomplish the gifts in me. Help my words, if I write them, to be of the Holy Ghost. Help the words that I speak to be with fire and passion. Help me what I do in life to be done with the Spirit of God. You have a fire in you. If you're saved today, there's fire in there. There's something down in there. Stir it up today. Stir it up. Get something going in your life. See God more and more. I desire to have... I know from my life, there's times I need to stir fire up. There's times from just the indifference and of living life that the fire starts going down. And it goes down. And there's times that I need to get in there and kick it up. Kick it up. It's not burning. Remember years ago coming to service one day, been struggling around with things, and I remember thinking, and the Lord brought it to my mind, you don't have the fire like you used to have. And I was distressed because I used to go with such desire and fervency, and just I wanted to go so badly. I just wanted to go to service. I wanted to feel the inspiration of God. And I didn't have it. And I remember coming to service one day and saying to the congregation, y'all pray for me. I want to have that back. I want to have the fire burn in me again. I want to see the flames licking up again. I want to be on fire for God. Another time I was going to service and I felt so plain, clearly, the Lord said to me, if you're going to go and spend a couple hours there, why don't you try to get something out of it? And I was kind of taken back, but I thought I did. And then I started noticing, do you know the songs in our book say something? Do you ever pay attention to what they say? They actually say something. You know, somebody stands up and talks, generally they're trying to say something. In our human way, sometimes we don't get it out altogether, but you know, if you pay attention, you may get something. You know, if you go with a heart to service, to say, Lord, fill me today. Or better than that, take something with you. Have a fire down in there through the week. Have a fire that you kindle. Have a fire. Have a word. Is there anything wrong with having a song, a word, a scripture? Is there anything wrong with running onto a good poem that bless you and bring it and read it? Is there anything wrong with being alive? Lord, help us to be alive. Fire burning in our souls. Fire. Something that's alive. I don't like stale things. I dig into a bag of potato chips sometimes. I like potato chips. I don't like stale potato chips. One, and that is if it's like a Dorito or something with a lot of, you know what I mean? It's tasty. It's got a lot of flavor to it. But one, even if it's stale, I don't want stale things. I don't want stale food. I don't want stale water. And I don't want a stale experience in God. Because it's miserable. It's a heartache. I don't like going to service. I don't like wasting my time. I want something that works. Something that's alive and working. Something I get a heat on. Something that's burning. Something that works in our lives. You'd be surprised. Your fire might catch hold somewhere else. I've seen it happen. I've seen somebody come in with a little fire, and I'll give you an illustration of it. Oh, Goliath had the whole army of Israel cowed down, looking around, and here come one little shepherd boy with fire in his soul. He had faith in God. He had stirred the gift. He had thrown the wood on it. By the time he got up there, he was burning fire. And he was ready to say to the Lord, put me in the game. You put me in. You little shepherd boy, you can't go up against this guy. He's a warrior. He's a man. He has been a warrior from his youth. A man of war. Powerful man. Big man. 9 foot 9 inches tall. 140 pound armor. Had a be big man. He's a battler. You. Oh, yeah, he's got all that stuff. You know what I got? Got fire in my soul. Got faith in God. Lord, be with me like he's always been. Put me in the game. The odds are just right for me now. See? Got something to say. I've seen it happen, folks. I've seen it happen. You know what? Oh, David went down there, didn't he? Fire in his soul. Wasn't much of an event. Wasn't what they thought he'd be. One little stone. Slung. Aimed. Fired. Guided by the Lord. Like a guided missile. He'd hit the spot. Down goes Goliath. Down goes Goliath. Up comes Israel. The firework. Now who's encouraged? Who's on fire now? Here they come. Why, if he can win, we can win too. And you know, they chase them all the way back out of the country. Run them out. Here they go. I imagine they all come out of there. Part of the game. I got to play. Got them in there. We won the game. And who caused it? Somebody had fire in their soul. Folks, your family may be running down. You don't know what's happened to them. I'll tell you a solution. Get some fire in your soul. Get some fire and passion of God. You say, my congregation is just so mellow. There ain't nothing wrong with being mellow. But it can get pretty dull. You know, there's more to it than that. And I'm not talking, and you know I'm not. I'm not talking about us getting together and trying to whoop up the flesh. Because the flesh is no good in no way. I'm talking about having something in your soul, though, that burns. That makes you want to go. Our children say, I say this many times, our children will say, do we have to go to church? And we'll say, no, we get to. We want to. It's fire. What's about? We get to. Because there's something burning. You pray for me. Lord, help me keep my fire burning. The old devil wants to put it out. He wants to snuff it out. He wants to get it down. He wants to say, that's good enough. You got something down in there somewhere. Lord, help us today. 2012, can it burn like it used to? Listen, it burned back there in them first days, didn't it? Didn't it burn there at Pentecost? Didn't the fire burn in those first years? It burned, didn't it? God was able to do so much. Why? I've heard people say, well, church ain't what it used to be. It's all different. And then some people even say, oh, them old days, it don't make sense. A lot of that stuff, it don't make sense. You know what don't make sense? We don't have fire. Because God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. God's willing to work. God's willing to deal. God's willing to bless. Can't tell me God's not a healer. He's healed us too many times to say he's not a healer. Say God can't deliver from the habits of this world. Don't believe a word of it. God can deliver from any of it. There's got to be some fire to burn it up with. You pray for me. It won't be faithful.